Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We started talking yesterday about seven reasons that if you do nothing, you become nothing. And by the way, do you know the bad thing about doing nothing is that you never know when you're done? Here's a brief review before we finish this. We gave you lots of scriptures yesterday. Don't have time today as we finish this up to give them to you all again. But what we're going to do is to give you the book, the chapter, and the verse so that you'll be able to do it. Number one, idleness is more than the devil's workshop. Here are seven sins of idleness. First, knowing to do right and not doing it. James 4:17.
Second, being lazy. Proverbs 10:4. Third, sticking your nose where it does not belong. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Fourth, not taking care of your personal business. Proverbs 24:30-34.
Fifth, meaningless if not harmful conversation. Matthew 12:36. Six, sowing nothing except trouble. Proverbs 16:27-29. Seventh, failing to be about his business. Luke 19:13. Number two, action overcomes fear. W. Clement Stone, the founder of the Combined Insurance Company of America and Success Magazine, said, "Thinking will not overcome fear, but action will." Here are seven keys to taking positive steps to overcome any fear that you face. First, despise not small beginnings. Zechariah 4:10. Second, one step at a time. Psalm 37:23.
Third, it's not what you feel, it's what you do. Isaiah 41:13. Fourth, whatever you do, do for his glory and honor. Colossians 3:17. Fifth, every step you take drives away fear. Deuteronomy 31:6.
Six, as fear flees, learning increases. Proverbs 9:10. And seventh, confidence in the word will cause fear to flee. Psalm 71:5, Psalm 53:6, Hebrews 13:6. Number three, people judge you by your actions, not your intentions. John 13:17, 1 John 3:18. And I want to read you James 1:23-24 in the Message Bible. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. That doesn't mean talk about it. It means do it. Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number four, if you don't do it, you don't really believe you can do it. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, as well as a speechwriter for President Franklin D. Roosevelt, once said, "Whatever your mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve." While I have great admiration for the writings and thoughts of Mr. Hill, it pales in comparison to the words found in Mark 9:23 in God's Words translation.
Jesus said to him, "As far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes.
The greatest limitations you'll ever face are self-imposed, self-maintaining, and self-defeating. God wants us to believe in possibilities, not limitations, excellence, and not excuses. The bottom line, no more excuses, no more judging our future based on our past experience and knowledge, no more defining our future by our past accomplishments or the lack thereof, no more negative thinking or speaking which restricts, eliminates, and destroys our possibilities for success. We frequently quote Romans 12:2, but you can never hear it enough.
Romans 12, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
From this day forward, purpose in your heart to look to your Heavenly Father with anticipation and expectation without limitation. We'll make this promise to you. If you look to God for your inspiration, motivation, and direction, 5 years from now, you will be amazed at what he has done in and through your life, simply because you believe and acted on the word. Number five, an action is worth 1,000 words. An action is worth 1,000 words. Life is full of people who want to talk about what they're going to do, but yet nothing ever seems to happen. I have a friend who's one of the most creative people I've ever met, but he has a totally unrealistic view of what it takes to make things happen, the things that his mind creates. A creation without implementation will never come to fruition.
Ezra 10:4 in God's Word Translation. Get up. It's your duty to take action. We are with you, so be strong and take action. God didn't create or call us to be a spiritual couch potato. He called us to be a doer of the word. We'll know what to do if we know him and his word. In Daniel 11:32 in God's Word Translation, it says, with flattery he will corrupt those who abandon the promise, but the people who know their God will be strong and take action.
Ernest Hemingway once said, never mistake motion for action. Benjamin Franklin said, well done is better than well said. We don't need just to talk about it, we need to do it. And God sees the actions we take. He does. Proverbs 5:21. In God's Word Translation, 5:21. Each person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all of our actions. If we got a hold of that, it might change the things that we say and do and think today. Andrew Carnegie, the industrialist, once said, as I grow older, pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do. Number six, prayer is not passive. It does not mean a lack of action. In fact, prayer is the most aggressive thing, action that we can ever take. Consider these several things. First, we must pray according to God's word and his will.
John 14:13-14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as representing all that I am, so that my Father, the Father, may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do it for you, whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. Second, we must recognize God's answer when he gives it, whether it's the answer we expected or not. James 2:20 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith, apart from good works, is inactive and ineffective and worthless?
Third, Pray that we will act on God's answer so we can bring his answer into manifestation. James 2:17, classic Amplified. It's also faith. If it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, is destitute of power, inoperative, dead.
Fourth, be known by your fruit, the fruit of your actions, and not just by your rhetoric. Matthew 7:20 in the New Living Translation says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions.
Fifth, don't be moved by the responses of others to what God has spoken to you. Don't be moved by the responses of others to what God has spoken to you. Job wasn't moved by his friends, and neither should you be. That's a whole other teaching, but we don't have time to cover it today. But just get a hold of that point.
Sixth, hearing his answer to our prayers is not enough. We must also know and act on the word. Matthew 22:29 in the Living Bible. Listen to this. But Jesus said, your error is caused by your ignorance of the scriptures and of God's power. We don't want to miss what God is saying to us.
Seventh, whom God corrects, he protects.
Proverbs 10:17 in the Classic Amplified. He who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself in the way of life, but also is a way of life for others. And he who neglects or refuses reproof, not only himself goes astray, but also causes to err and is a path toward ruin for others.
Seventh, your future is not determined by what others do, but rather what you do. It's rather sad, but oftentimes we judge others by what they do and ourselves by what we intended to do, even if we didn't do it. That's not fair or right, but it's something we need to make sure that we don't fall into. We cannot control what others do to us, but we can control what we do to others. Know this, God keeps the books. The absolute worst thing we can do in the midst of trouble is to place our trust in someone else other than God. He alone is the one who can deliver us out of every adversity.
Zechariah 8:13 in the New International Reader's Version. Judah and Israel, in the past, the nations called down curses on you, but now I will save you. You will be a blessing to others. Do not be afraid. Let your hands be strong so that you can do my work.
There are five very specific things that verse 13 says God will do for us. It'd be a good scripture for you to go over and over again, but here they are. First, others may cause you trouble, but God will save you. Second, he will use us to be a blessing to others. Third, he tells us once again to not be afraid. Fourth, we're to be strong in faith, stand strong in our natural bodies. Fifth and finally, he has work for us to do. That ought to make you shout hallelujah. We need to be about his business, doing the things we've been directed to do. And that certainly is not just sitting around doing nothing. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Don't go yet. I want to say something to you. And up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Sometime late this afternoon, we'll have posted on the website the teaching from Sunday Night Live. It's entitled Increasing Your Capacity for Success. It is a phenomenal teaching. If you weren't live on the call last night, just kind of watch out for Facebook. I'll put something up when it's posted or do it on Twitter or just know probably sometime late afternoon it'll be up and ready for you to see. You go to haroldherring.com just double click, join Harold and Bell Sunday Night Live. You know, not only can watch the teaching, but you can get the outline as well. Hallelujah. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.